Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
This morning's message is a series of messages entitled The Intermediate State Between Death and the Rapture. This message is going to rock your world and rattle your preconceived notion of where the dead in Christ reside until the Lord's return. There is no shortage of false teachings about Christ and the Holy Bible in our current age of apostasy. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, urges him and every disciple to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can being ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ be a reality for the lazy studier? Apparently so. That means, well done, thou good and faithful servant, may not be the words they hear at the judgment, but instead, thou wicked and slothful servant. A sad indictment indeed. There is a truth you are going to learn in this series that requires an in-depth study of the authoritative Word of God, and it will change your understanding of where the dead are at this very moment. You then will discover how misguided we have all been by oversimplified exegesis of the Scriptures by lazy students of the Bible. This series will answer the question of where you, who love Christ will be upon your death and the death of all those who have gone before us. For example, slowly read and then note this simple thought Jesus leaves his disciples shortly before his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection in John 14, verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there ye may be also. Without any pretense, please notice that when he comes again, then will we who are in Christ be with him and no sooner. Enjoy this morning's message as we go digging for precious nuggets of scriptural understanding. This is part 5.
Number 10. We looked at number 10, point 10. Under Roman numeral 5, notice Jesus did not go to heaven until he was first resurrected. Jesus said these words. This is Jesus' word. And no man hath ascended up to heaven. Moses hasn't ascended to heaven. David hasn't ascended to heaven. Elijah hasn't ascended to heaven. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. This statement is true before Jesus came the first time, while Jesus was on earth, and to this very current day. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus said those words. Should we believe Jesus? Notice Samuel is resurrected by the witch of Endor. Samuel. I taught you last time, he was the great circuit court judge. He traveled from different cities. It says when he came to the city where his mother was, she made him a coat every time he came to the city. She would knit a coat for him and have a coat ready for him when he came to her city. Jesus is a circuit court judge. He's a judge now at the throne of God. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he'll be a judge at the judgment seat of Christ. He will be a judge judging the nations, wherever that's going to be established and set up, and he will be a judge at the white throne judgment at the end of the millennial age. So he's a circuit court judge. He will be judging the earth for 1,000 years. We will rule and reign with him, but he will be the supreme ruler on the earth. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring? What? Down? Down? No, it says what? Up. Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Samuel, I saw God descending, it says ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh down, up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. Now, if you know the gist of this story, King Saul, if you remember, King Saul was disobedient. He lost his throne. David was anointed, but Saul was still on the throne. He wouldn't relinquish his title, his position. He hunted David like an animal. Through the wilderness, he wanted to kill David, and a battle was going to ensue with the enemies of Israel. He wanted God to give him a vision of their victory and that God would go before them, and he wasn't getting an answer from God, so he went to the witch and said, bring me up Samuel. Does that make sense? That's the story. Bring me up Samuel. He'll tell me. And so, and an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle, a coat of some sort. And Samuel perceived that it was, Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me?" Means, why have you interrupted my rest? Right? Don't you sometimes like to turn off your cell phone completely, not even put it on vibration so you can get a little peace and quiet and rest? Right? Even if you got the old touch tone phones, you know, the cordless, the corded phones in your household, you want to turn the ringer off. "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? Moreover, the Lord will offer Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow thou shalt and thy son be with me." The only prophet to prophesy after his death is Samuel. There's a little bit of trivia for you. The only prophet to ever prophesy after his death was Samuel. And he prophesied and he told Saul, guess what? You ain't going to prevail in this battle. You ain't going to prevail. Guess what? You're going to be with me tomorrow. You're going to be with me in the underworld, in the Abraham bosom, in paradise, wherever, I don't know. That Saul was not too good of a king, so I don't know where he went, but I like what Samuel said. "Tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me." And Jonathan was killed in that battle with Saul, and he died. But he didn't ascend into heaven, and Samuel went back into the earth. Number 12, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David." David! This is Peter preaching at the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon that upper room, and the 120 that were in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter preached with boldness. This is after Jesus ascended. Jesus ascended up into heaven 10 days earlier, and the apostles and disciples watched him ascend into the cloud. And what did the holy angel say to those disciples when they were just looking up in the clouds? He's coming back the same way he went up, in the clouds. And Peter is preaching. He says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried." Does it say heaven? Did he say heaven?
No,
he said dead and buried. "And his sepulcher is with us unto this day. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, 'The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand.'" It was the Father and the Son talking to one another. Jesus and his Father talking to one another. David didn't ascend into heaven and sit on the right hand of the throne. He only prophesied that in Psalm 110. And you go back and look at that in the psalm, but he only prophesied that Jesus is going to sit at the right hand of the Father. It wasn't he that was going to sit at the right hand. "His sepulcher is with us to this day," to this very day, to the day and hour that I am preaching. Roman numeral 6 in your notes. You don't have page numbers. The discussion of the rapture sheds more light on this topic. 1 Thessalonians 4, the rapture chapter. Where does the word rapture? Is rapture found in the scriptures? No. Okay? It means, let me just go back to my brain a little bit, but I believe it's a Latin term that means caught up. Caught up. Okay? Caught up. And so we've used this word rapture for many years. There's many rapture deniers today. Jeff and Ellen and I, we dealt with a person several months back, a rapture denier. We think we persuaded that person. We think we convinced that person. But there are rapture deniers. They're getting fed false teaching. And there's more of it than you really realize out there that are denying the rapture. But I would not have you to be ignorant. I would have not have you to be ignorant, Paul is saying to the church of Thessalonica. Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, dead, they're asleep. They're not sleeping in a bed. They're not asleep spiritually because they haven't read their Bible, prayed, or gone to church for a year. No, they are asleep, dead. Concerning them which are asleep that ye sorrow not. Why would these Thessalonians be sorrowing? Because they didn't understand the rapture. They thought, well, those who died in Christ, they're not going to see Jesus when he comes back. That's why they were sorrowing. If they were in heaven, if they believed they were in heaven, why would they be sorrowing? Right? Why would they be sorrowing? Everybody's in heaven. No, they were sorrowing. Even as others which have no hope. Okay? We don't sorrow for those who are in Christ. We have this hope that there's going to be this future day of resurrection and we're going to see all our loved ones again. Amen. We're going to see our brethren and sisters and brothers and elders and preachers and all again someday in the future. It's only a temporary separation. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Not that he will bring them down from heaven with him. He means he will bring them who are in the graves with him up into the air. There's that confusion there. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those who are dead in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Does it say all the hosts that are in heaven are going to descend with him? It just says he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. The last trump that's spoken of in another passage in Corinthians. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead, those who are in the graves, are going to arise. That means their soul will come out of the belly of the earth, the heart of the earth, out of paradise, out of the bosom of Abraham, because Abraham's going to be part of that crowd rising up, and their souls are going to meet their bodies, and they're going to raise up. Their bodies that have been decaying for hundreds and years and thousands of years are going to rise up and be transformed and alive, made alive. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, Paul is writing, that are still living when he comes, then we which are alive and remain shall be, there's that word caught up, that's where we get the word rapture in the Latin, together with them in the clouds. In the clouds, where the pavilion is, not where the Father is, not where our Heavenly Father is. in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. In the air. There's still air in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Are you comforted? I'm comforted by these words. Job says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. What is he saying there? He's saying, I'm going to die. Somebody's going to put my body in a grave or in a tomb or a mausoleum, and the worms, and it's going to decay and it's going to stinketh. Just like Lazarus' body stunketh after 4 days. Because it went through the decay process. But he says, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He believed in the resurrection. One day that body is going to be glorified. That soul is going to be reunited with the body. The body is going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to ascend, and he's going to ascend before God. But he knew that his body was going to be buried in a grave. It has to wait until that glorification, that day of glorification. Glorification is still future. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Uh-oh, here's another proof. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. Slept in the Lord means they're dead. They died in Christ. But he's the first fruits that rises up from the grave. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The last Adam. Christ is the last Adam, it refers to in Corinthians. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And no sooner. At his coming and no sooner. So Christ is the only one who's ascended and risen. Behold, I show you a mystery, but we shall not all sleep. That means some of us are going to be living on the earth when he comes back. And we shall all be changed. This is another rapture, dealing with the rapture again. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. He'll say, come forth, your name, and you'll come out of the grave. Your name, my name, and we will come out of the grave. And it will sound like a trumpet. And all the names will be read off almost instantaneously. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We will be raised incorruptible. We will be in a glorified body. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen? Amen. You will have no death anymore. There will be no death. You'll be in a glorified body, but only when the soul and the body are come together. Now, this next passage is really critical, important here in point 4 under Roman numeral 6. For we know that if our earthly house, what is your earthly house? This body. Okay? This body. Is your earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. Okay, someday it's going to dissolve. It's going to fall apart. It's already falling apart. I took my daughter skiing yesterday, and I feel like I'm falling apart. Oh, my goodness. And we came back with some of the funniest stories in the world. We laughed last night so hard. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a building of God. That's the incorruption, the incorruptible, that's the immortality, the building of God. That's talking about the transformation, the glorification of the body. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. Means God has the instrument and the ability to glorify that body. How he does it, that's a mystery. But just like the mystery and the power of God to call nothing into matter, into existence, he can transform your dead body and carcass in a grave in a twinkling of an eye. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.